From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. We are here at Lowell Stevens Football Facility for Kevin Sumlin's Monday press conference. Justin Spears here with Michael Lev. Michael, so the Arizona Wildcats are now 0-2. You were out there in Houston. You talked to someone after the game. What was kind of his mood and what was his message to the team?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest positive to come out of the whole thing was that they kept fighting in the second half, you know? They didn't lay down. They definitely could have. I mean, it was pretty bleak there for a while, but Khalil Tate stayed in the game, which I think symbolically was important. You know, like, he's been thrust into this leadership position, and I don't know if it's necessarily natural for him, and he's still a young guy, still 19 years old, but I think he needed to go out there and prove, like, you know what, I'm going to keep trying, so everyone else needs to keep trying too. I mean, Colin Schooler was in there late in the game, running around, making plays. You know, after the goal line stand by Houston, I mean, they really could have just given up at that point, and they got a safety, you know, and got the ball back. So I think that was the biggest positive to come out of there. But, you know, obviously no one expected this to be the case, right?
Yeah.
And he talked about that today, too. Like, I didn't expect to be here. We didn't expect to be here.
Well, it's what we do, you know. And so every situation is different. Every team is different. And you're right. Nobody expected that, and we don't expect that. So what we can do is get better every week, and that's our approach, and we start back on that today.
So the question is, you know, what are they going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. And Kevin Sumlin, it seemed like the theme of his press conference is we need to generate more blank, whether it was explosive offensive plays or
defensive plays, right.
He talked a lot about that.
Right. Well, you know, we talked a little bit after the game about, you know, 8 to 12 play drives and what comes out of that, points. We've got to generate more explosive plays. And, you know, that's the conversation we've had for the last 48 hours of explosives, because we've got to get bigger chunks of yardage at certain times. And we were unsuccessful the first week with the ball going down the field a bunch, but scoring more points. We certainly have to be able to do that, and that comes to, I mean, that speaks to scheme and what we can do. Those explosive plays are a combination of things, but that's something that we're working on right now.
And now that we're sitting here, okay, Arizona's 0-2. We didn't expect that. ASU is 2-0. We didn't expect that. Arizona, the state of Arizona is kind of in a weird place right now. But they play a Southern Utah team that we really don't know much about, but we'd expect them to have a win against them this Saturday.
We would, yes. So regarding the explosive plays, that 46-yard completion from Tate to Tony Ellison was their longest play of the season so far. Right, like when they really had it rolling last year, it seemed like there were 50-plus yard plays, more than one of them in every single game. Now, a lot of that was Khalil Tate running the ball, which we haven't seen for a variety of reasons, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But more explosive plays would, I think, change that ratio of plays to points that's been way off, right? They ran 100 plays against Houston and scored only 18 points, and two of those came on defense. So that's not the efficiency that you're looking for. So they need more of that. And as far as the defense goes, no sacks, no takeaways in the first two games. And I asked Kevin Sumlin, are you going to make some big changes, you know, schematically or personnel-wise? And he simply said, yes, we are. He obviously didn't want to elaborate, but you can assume they're going to be more aggressive, right? I mean, I've been a what's the opposite of proponent? Opponent. sometimes in third and long situations, Marcell Yates likes to do rush three, drop eight, right? Get a lot of guys in coverage. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just not an advocate of that type of scheme, and I don't know if we're going to see much more of it going forward, because they're certainly not generating a pass rush with three. Sometimes they're not generating pass rush with five, but at least you have a better chance if you're sending more guys. So I would expect to see a lot more blitzing, a lot more aggressive play, and it would be a lot easier to do that if Jace Whitaker and Scotty Young Jr. could come back. Feel a little bit more comfortable leaving your defensive backs in one-on-one coverage if you've got some quality veterans back there.
And I was reading your takeaways after watching the film yesterday, and there was one particular play that I'm glad you really focused on. I think it was a third down situation where Khalil Tate was rolling out, and the defenders gave him what looked like a 16-yard cushion. Like, he could have easily tucked it, ran, picked up 12 yards. Or, knowing Khalil Tate and what he does with his legs, he could break out for a touchdown or just a big play. That's the generating more explosive plays. But Khalil Tate also hurt his left ankle in that first half, so we really didn't know. But you look like you got something to say.
I was going to say, watching the game, right? Like, from the point where he like just went down on his own early in the first quarter through the third quarter, he just looked really limited. Like, there were multiple times the pass rush would come in, he would take two steps and just chuck the ball away, which I think every one of those should have been intentional grounding. I think they were just giving him the benefit of the doubt, or because they were losing or something. I couldn't really figure out what was going on there. But that was part of that sequence, too. But then, weirdly, in the fourth quarter, he did start to extend plays again. And he scored a touchdown where he kind of put a hesitation move on a defender. So I don't know whether the ankle loosened up or he stopped thinking about it or what was going on. As I wrote in the piece, like, it's impossible to know how much pain he was in and what was going through his head. But the hope is, if you're an Arizona fan, that what we saw in that fourth quarter is what we're going to see moving forward, right? Like, to me, it was big that he might have just on his own tried to run the ball in on third and goal and that whole goal line sequence. Like, I don't know if that was a design play, but he tried to run and slam it up in there. And we haven't seen him put his foot in the ground and turn upfield very much this year. He's been dancing a lot and trying to get to the sideline. So, I mean, we need to see the Khalil Tate who's aggressive running the ball, who runs like a running back. Now, I know everyone is always concerned about, oh, he's going to get hurt if he does that. But you know what? He's got a lot of experience doing it. When he puts his shoulder down into a defender, I mean, he's the aggressor in that play.
Yep.
He's not standing there in the pocket, vulnerable to a hit to his legs or whatever. So, like I said, hopefully that's the Khalil we're going to see moving forward.
And you also bring up the return of Jace Whitaker and Scotty Young Jr. Heading into the Houston week.
Can we just run it back from last week?
Yeah, Jace Whitaker and Scotty Young Jr.'s back. They're going to be playing against Houston. This could be a moment where Arizona's defense starts to pick it up. Well, we didn't see Jace Whitaker and Scotty Young Jr. on Saturday, so will we see them against Southern Utah? According to Kevin Sumlin, maybe, but I mean, the return of those two guys right there and their mentalities and what they bring to this Arizona defense, it's key for them.
Yeah, well, first of all, the broadcast said that both Jace and Scotty had hamstring issues. We have never known what their injuries were. I heard from a source that Scotty was a hamstring. Now, remember, he missed all of spring, and he missed most of training camp. So it's not surprising that, you know, he might pull something trying to, you know, hurry up and get back into the mix of things. They both dressed. They both participated in early warm-ups, and it was obviously kind of one of those game-time decisions. They brought them on the trip thinking that there was a possibility they could play. They obviously couldn't. So we'll see if they're available this week. I mean, if there's any doubt to me, you think you can win this game without them, you probably hold them out again.
Yeah.
Obviously, they need them. It would be nice to have them. But you're probably going to be able to beat Southern Utah, you know, with your second or even third team guys. If they were able to play, what do you get? You get experience. You get toughness. Like, I think those are both tough guys. They're different players, yet I think they're both tough in their own ways. Like, I think Jace is really mentally tough, and Scotty is a physical safety, you know. And add those guys to the mix, you can have more of a rotation, you can have more experience. And as Kevin Sumlin said, they need to generate, your favorite word,
generate
negative plays. And someone needs to cause a turnover. To give the offense that's been struggling to score points some shorter field position.
And also some more shuffling around. Arizona will return Laith Frick, who was held out for the first two games because the NCAA granted him an additional year of eligibility because he only played one game his freshman year. So with Arizona's starting left tackle, a three-year starter who's now going to come back at that left tackle spot, Donovan Lai.
We just learned this. Donovan Lai. We all thought it was Donovan Lai, but we said it's Donovan Lai. Mm-hmm.
But he's moving over to right tackle, according to Kevin Sumlin, which, well, what happens to Cody Creason? He's going to move him over to guard. And why did Kevin Sumlin move Cody Creason over and put Lai at right tackle? Well, more beef up front. Yeah, you got size. And Cody Creason's experienced enough where he can actually hold down that left guard spot.
I'd just like to say to our audience that you will not find a more extensive breakdown of Arizona's offensive line anywhere than here on the Wildcast. We've been talking about this for weeks on end, because it's so important, right? Yeah. Like, that's where everything starts on offense. You can have the greatest quarterback, running back, wide receiver in the world, but if you can't block, you really can't do anything. Mm-hmm. So Lath comes back. We all thought that the way they kind of lined up the offensive line was so that they wouldn't have to do a lot of shuffling. But I think they've realized these first 2 weeks that Donovan Lai is one of our five best guys. So we need to figure out where to put him. So they're going to move him from left tackle to right tackle, as you mentioned. It's going to be a bit of an adjustment for him, but he's shown that he's a quick learner. I mean, it's very rare for a true freshman to play on the offensive line. You know, Kevin Sumlin said that that's largely a product of circumstances, you know, that they didn't have a lot of better options, but they may have discovered someone here who's big and athletic and has a lot of promise. And then you take Cody Creason and put him at left guard. I think what's going to happen with Theo Lacusa is he's going to rotate with Bryson Cain at right guard. Someone mentioned that four of the five offensive linemen played all 100 of those plays in the heat at Houston.
Wow.
That's not ideal.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to get a little more depth, a little bit more of a rotation. And sometimes, as you know, Justin, I always reference this as a former offensive lineman, you know, sometimes it's just about shuffling the pieces around until it all kind of fits together the right way, right? It's with the offensive line. If some guys are definitely tackles, some guys are definitely guards. I don't know if you can say that with a guy like Cody Creason or, you know, Theo Lacusa. He used to be a tackle, he's now at guard. Cain used to be a tackle, he's now at guard. It's about finding that right combination, and they're going to try a new combination in week three with Lath coming back and some guys moving around.
What did Kevin Sumlin say? It's not about five pennies. It's about one nickel, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. He said you want your offensive line, you don't want it to play like five pennies. You want it to be more like a nickel. And I would say that it's been like, what, about 3.5 cents or so? You know, these first two games, like there's good stuff. And then there's like breakdowns. Like, I wrote about this in the piece that you referenced, like Bryson Cain, like two good plays in a row, and then completely misses a guy and it ends up in a loss. What they're looking for from the entire roster is consistency. And something that Kevin mentioned in his press conference today is that he feels like he knows the team now. Like, I know what we've got. You know, now it's a matter of, okay, let's put those guys in the right places so they can make more positive plays, you know, more big plays. We haven't seen a lot of those, like, I know people like don't believe in the concept of momentum, but we haven't seen a lot of momentum shifting plays made by Arizona in these first two games. They need to generate more of those.
Generate. Good word
of the day.
What would you say through the first two games is the biggest surprise for you? I'm gonna go ahead and start off with not really using the tight ends as much. It seems like, you know, heading into this year, the way Noel Mazzoni talked about the tight ends, Bryce Wolma, Jamie Nunley, he spoke very highly of them. And with Kevin Sumlin not only being the head coach but being a tight ends coach, you'd think that the tight ends would be they would have a more important role in the offense. That's my biggest surprise for this year so far. What's yours?
Well, I would say that it's Khalil Tate having 22 rushing yards through two games. You know, I mean, 22 rushing yards, that's one play for him last year. And there's a variety of reasons behind it. In the first game, they didn't really use him as a runner very much, right? I mean, it just wasn't part of the game plan. They thought that they could beat BYU on the perimeter with their receivers, and they were chucking the ball downfield. In the second game, they planned to use him more as a runner, and then he hurts his ankle early in the game. I think it happened on his first rushing attempt. It was kind of a run up the middle of about 2 yards. There's no other time I could see when rewatching the game when it could have happened. Maybe he didn't totally feel it at the time when he tried to take off on that one play and run to his left. He obviously couldn't push off, right? So then they shelved all of those plays for a good long while, and we didn't see it. When are we going to see that from him, right? Are we going to see it this week? Are we going to see it against Oregon State, a team that he had a lot of success rushing against last year? You know, when you watched, you know, when you watch highlights of those plays from last season, like, he's the fastest guy in the field, right?
Easily.
Easily. So we need to see more of that. We need to see more of him. I'm going to use a great football team, football term right here. We need to see more of him getting vertical, right? stick your foot in the ground and go, instead of, like, dancing around as much as he has. That's my biggest surprise, right? Mm-hmm. That we thought that was going to be sort of the foundational piece of the offense, even though they were transitioning to a new scheme. Mm.
Also, some injury updates, or not really updates, because Kevin Sumlin said, well, we'll figure it out today. Derek Bowles went down with a knee injury. He was carted off in that game against Houston. And Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles also left that game, which are two very important pieces, because Derek Bowles obviously has depth to that defensive line. And Flanagan-Fowles, just him being a senior leader and a big part of that secondary. So did it look as bad as it did on TV? I mean, Derek Bowles, it looked like he wasn't moving at all. So I think I would expect him to be out this week.
Well, first of all, I give Derek a lot of credit, because he got hurt on a play down by the goal line.
Yeah.
And that play went for something like 40 yards. I think if he didn't get hurt on the play, he might have actually made the tackle. Like, he sort of lunged at the ball carrier, and it looked like his leg locked up on him. As there's some people here in the lobby.
Getting
a tour or something. And he went 40 yards down the field and lined up for the next play, and then couldn't move. Like, something, he could tell something was wrong. Then he went down and got carted off. He was on the sideline in the second half of the game, so hopefully it's maybe only a hyperextension and not something worse than that. The play with Demetrius, he kind of made a tackle, a low tackle. I thought maybe he got a concussion or a shoulder or something, but looked like they were, like, maybe looking at his right hip. Like the reverb from the hit maybe jostled something in that area. He tried to get up and walk off and really couldn't put weight on that leg. So we're in wait and see mode. The bigger problem to me, like, if you're missing those two guys, it's Bowles, because yeah. PJ Johnson did not play, had a boot on his right foot. The broadcast said that was an ankle. Hopefully it's not a high ankle sprain, because that can be really detrimental if you're a defensive lineman. But that really reduces the rotation at defensive tackle.
Yeah,
I mean, Fintan Connolly played a ton in that game, and I think he played pretty decently. Mikey Irving got in there, and Abraham Maiava, who was an offensive lineman a year ago, walk-on, he played a ton of plays. I mean, he was never really in the plan, you know? And when you're having to put a guy like that in the plan, it's not a good sign. They've got plenty of depth at safety. Mm-hmm. They could get by for a few weeks mm-hmm. without Demetrius if they had to. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Arizona Wildcats, they play Southern Utah this week at home for their
Thunderbirds.
We finally figured out their mascot. We thought it was a bird of some choice, but thought it was like an eagle or something. But the Thunderbirds, that's what it is.
You know, well, they always say, like, when in doubt, say Eagles or Wildcats, because those are kind of like the two most popular nicknames, I would say. But Thunderbirds, that's kind of cool. That's about the extent of what I know about Southern Utah. Mm-hmm. So.
Good mascot. Really good mascot.
Good analysis on Southern Utah.
Exactly.
Good mascot.
We'll figure out more on them, and then we'll also do a Thursday podcast, which is live at Frog and Firkin. You can catch us at Frog and Firkin at noon on Thursday. Come by, say hi, talk some football with us. We'll be there.
You can ask us anything. It doesn't even have to be your football-related question.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
I've got no secrets.
Like, what's the best road food? What's the best city in the Pac-12 that has the best food?
Are we talking about in the press box or like the city itself?
City
See,
itself.
Those are different questions.
City itself.
Whew, man. In the Pac-12?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have to say LA, right? But you could also give props. I'd probably also give props to Seattle.
Okay.
You know, you probably go for the big cities in that regard. Then again, you know, maybe I take that back. When you get to go to either Berkeley or Stanford, you've got San Francisco in play. So I'd probably put San Francisco atop the list, L.A. second, Seattle third. Press box is a whole different story. Mm. Colorado's really good. Washington State's really good as far as press box food. Yeah, we could talk about that. Come by and ask us anything. Seriously.
Anything. Well, that will do it for this Monday's episode of the Wildcast podcast. For Michael, I'm Lev. We'll talk to you later. And don't forget to download that free Wildcaster app and subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.